I want to read from Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 1. It says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David." It's interesting, Isaiah is speaking of a time that's to come. And the title of my Bible says, "An Invitation to Abundant Life." I know that's just a title, but it really describes the life that's in Christ. And when Jesus said, "The thief, he comes to steal, to kill and destroy," in John 10, he says this, "but I have come," Jesus has come, "that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And so this is speaking of the gospel, everyone who comes and believes in Jesus Christ, everyone who's thirsty. And what's the stipulation here? Who are the ones that are going to come? Those who thirst. Those who thirst, there has to be a thirst. If there's no thirst, we're not going to come. You know, I remember a time in my life when I thought I was good. I thought that everything was, I thought that I was living right. And even though I knew that my life was a mess, I thought that it was okay, but I was dead inside. I was completely dead inside. And I was a slave of various things, and these things brought their bondage in my life, and it brought discouragement to me, and I had no life. And you read these words saying, you know, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You know, I think of John 7, and Jesus was, it was the last day of the feast. In John 7, verse 37, he says, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink.'" That sounds very familiar. That sounds like what Isaiah was prophesying. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And then he says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." That's abundant life. Out of our hearts can flow rivers. What is he talking about, this water, this living water? What is this? "This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." So there's two requirements. There's got to be a thirst. And when there's a thirst, where are we going to go to fulfill that thirst? Are we going to go to the world? Or are we going to go to Jesus? And so when there's a thirst, we run to Jesus. And then it says, if we believe in him. So there's got to be a thirst and we have to believe. And it seems simple, doesn't it? Thirst and believe. And we shall have rivers of living water flowing out of us. That's the abundant life. So is that what we have? Do we have the abundant life right now, today? The abundant life is available for us. I have to confess, in my life, since the time that the Lord saved me, there's been times where I didn't have abundant life. And even times recently where I don't have that abundant life. And I have to be honest with myself. Why is that? Is Jesus calling me to come to him again? You know, I'm not saying that I've lost my salvation, but I'm saying that I'm feeling dry and I need to come to him again, because Jesus says here, "He who believes in me," he says, "come to me and drink." You know that word drink means continually? It's not just a one-time drink. It means to drink and to keep on drinking. That's what he's talking about. Come to him and drink and keep on drinking. And so I think of in John chapter 4, there was a woman who continually went to the well to gather water. And back in the day, you know, they had to go to the well to get water every day. But Jesus was speaking spiritually to her and saying, you know what, this water, that you're going to thirst again. And he was talking about the water that this world has to offer. And there is a water that this world has to offer, and it doesn't fulfill, it doesn't satisfy. And so Jesus said in John 4 and verse 13 and 14, he said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So this woman, we know that she had five husbands, and the man that she was with then was not her husband. She was thirsty for something. And there can be a thirst, and we don't want to go to the world to satisfy that thirst, because we'll keep going back. And it will never fulfill. It will never satisfy. You know, and that world, that well, that water in that well, it represents, okay, I need to go to a man, or I need to go find a relationship with this, a person. Can represent that. It can represent, I need money. I need a possession to try and satisfy this something. There's someone at work, and she showed up one day with cobalt blue hair, like just blue. And she said, yeah, I was feeling discouraged and I need to do something. And so she had to dye her hair, like, just really vibrant. She got a little bit of joy out of it. But it didn't last. Like, she's done it last year, and she has to keep doing it to try and get some excitement. But it doesn't fulfill. It never fulfills that longing. And so when there's a longing for us in our heart, and there's a longing, when we're just kind of sick and tired of our old life, sick and tired of the past, sick and tired of defeat, sick and tired of being in chains, and sick and tired of the dryness, and we have a thirst, don't go to the well to draw the water. Don't go to the world, because it will never satisfy, because we'll have to keep going back, and it'll be such a temporary thing. But there's only one person who can satisfy fully and completely, and that's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus. And that life will come up and bubble up out of our hearts. And it will start as a fountain, and it will end as a river, if we believe. And so that was encouraging for me as I read. You know, there's an invitation for everyone who thirsts. And Jesus says in Matthew, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Who's he calling? He's calling those who are weary. They're tired of their life. They're tired of their old ways. Who's he calling? He's calling those who are thirsting for something greater and need to find, to be satisfied. I tell you the truth. You know, nothing in this world satisfies. And you know, I don't want to present myself as being super spiritual. Like, there's seasons and times when, you know, I'm just looking to something, maybe to something new to buy, to give a little encouragement in my heart. And that's completely wrong. It doesn't last, because then the next week there's something else, because it's old, right? And I need Jesus today, just like I needed him yesterday and I needed him 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I need him, and I need to come to him. That's why it's important to continually to drink, continually. Need to continue, not to be slack and complacent, but keep on drinking. Keep on drinking. Presently. That's a present participle. Drink. Keep on drinking. And don't trust in an experience that I had many years ago. And, you know, it is tempting to, like it says in verse 2, why do you spend money for what is not bread, or your wages on what doesn't satisfy? I think if we're all honest, that we've all spent money on things that don't satisfy. I've done it too many times. Why do we do it? Because we're thirsting for something. and we haven't gone to Jesus. In Haggai, in verse 6, it says, Haggai 1, verse 6, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You can see they're not drinking from the right source. They're not drinking from Jesus Christ. They're drinking from the well of the world. You drink, but are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but you're not warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood. Build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that's in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you will withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Do you see that they had, in the natural, they had left the temple of God in ruins, and they were building their own houses, and they were busy building their own house and being comfortable while the temple of God was in ruins. Spiritually today, you know, we're not building a natural house for the Lord. The Lord doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He doesn't dwell in a church building. He dwells amongst his people. He dwells in our hearts. And he wants to dwell in us. And he does when we come to him and believe. He dwells within us. It's an amazing verse in Isaiah. I don't even know where it is exactly right now, but it says, he dwells in the high and in the holy place. That sounds pretty awesome. So he's dwelling in the high and the holy place. It says heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. I mean, all powerful. God is so great that the earth would be his footstool and he's dwelling there. But you know where he also dwells? Right after that, it says, and with him who is broken and contrite. He dwells with the broken and the contrite. That means he dwells with us. He dwells with those who will humble themselves. With those who will humble themselves. So he dwells in the high and holy place and with those who are broken. Have you been broken? You know what it means to be broken? Think of a horse. A horse that's not broken. I think you might know, Emma. A horse that's not broken is a wild horse, and you try and get on it, it's going to run away, and you're going to fall off and get hurt. But when a horse has been broken, then it will submit its will and listen to you and do what you tell it to do, and it will be gentle and calm. And so a broken man and woman is someone whose will has been broken and submits their will to God's will. That's broken. And contrite is also means sorrow for doing wrong. When they stumble, they don't just pout in their sin, but they actually repent of it and are broken, like Peter was when he denied Christ, and it says he wept bitterly. He became a broken man. And that's whom God dwells with. He dwells with those who are contrite. When they sin, they repent and they get back up. So we can go to a worldly well where we're just putting money into a bag with holes. You know, I remember hearing a testimony of Carter Conlon, and he was at Times Square Church. And he said whenever him and his wife talked about, okay, wanting to really store up a nest egg for themselves, all of a sudden the car was breaking down and everything started going wrong, and they had to pour out money, and they just could never do it. But when we're going to seek the Lord and just not worry about those things and seek the Lord, then there's always enough, you know. But if we want to put our trust in the bag that's storing the gold, it's got holes. The money makes itself wings, and it flies away as faster than you can put it in. And so we can't trust in riches or in our job or in anything. But we know one thing for sure, that the Lord, that his servants will never be begging for bread. He's going to meet every need. You know what David says? I think it's David. I was been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or servants begging for bread. And so he's going to meet your need. He's going to provide. You won't be begging. And you know what he uses sometimes? A lot of times, he uses his people, his arms and his feet to help. It's not always going to drop, be there right in, stepping on a big wad of money or, you know, I don't believe in the lottery. It's not going to come these ways. It's going to come through his people that have love in their hearts and see a need and want to meet the need because we're a family. We're the body of Christ. And so when the arm is hurting, then the rest of the body is hurting also. And we can see and we want to come alongside and help. And it gives joy to help other parts of the body. It's encouraging. We have one another. When we're in a body like this, we know the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And when the person who gathers much will have something to share. The same with when they gathered manna. When the one who had much and the one who gathered little, you know, they would share it and everyone would have enough. And so has the Lord blessed us with much? He's done that so we have something to share. And we can have joy in being a blessing to others. And you know what? When someone receives a gift and the Lord provided for them, it actually brings joy to their heart and builds their faith. And then Paul that says, and then he received joy seeing, or the others received joy seeing that the joy that when they provided needs for the brethren that were in need. And so it's encouragement all around. So I wanted to go to verse 6 in Isaiah 55. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So if the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, the Lord will abundantly pardon. The Lord will show great mercy. I think even now we can all be tempted in our thoughts to think something that's not right, that's not pure, not holy, and maybe it's bitter, maybe it's lust. Those thoughts need to be taken captive in Jesus' name, and he will give us the grace to do that so that we don't need to be a slave in our thoughts. It's not just now the looking good outwardly, but he can cleanse us inwardly. And that's how our righteousness can exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, as Andrew shared. Not just looking clean and proper on the outside. I looked very good in high school on the outside. But inwardly, man, there was a lot of death. There was a lot of things on the inside that no one knew about. Jesus came so that he might cleanse the inside of the cup. Would you want to drink from a cup that was spotless on the outside but had a lot of manure on the inside, caked on the inside? Who would choose that cup to drink from? But what about the one that was completely shiny out on the outside but still had some... What's that? Sorry, yeah, it was shiny on the inside but still had some grime on the outside. It might not look as good, but the inside is being clean. But you know what's going to happen? The outside is going to be clean as well. And so we don't want to have just the outside of the cup clean and the inside full of grime. We want our cup inside and out clean. And the Lord is able to do that. So we have a choice to make when thoughts come. Are we going to forsake those thoughts and take them captive? He will give us the grace. And man, there's temptations. They can be strong. But we have to, like Andrew said, be violent against the flesh. Be violent against by taking up our crosses. So the next verse, 8 and 9, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, yesterday I spent a lot of the day, I was in this book, and I was trying to write a song, Isaiah 55. And after I had written the song, one of the lines was, you know, your thoughts are high and mighty, your ways are not my ways. Still you dwell with the broken, those who humbly seek your face. And in the evening, I was looking at that line, I was like, it's not complete. There's something missing because it doesn't end there. Like, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. But is that the Lord's will, that my ways are always not his ways? And so I had to switch that line. And because I wanted to read in Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. And then in verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. And then in verse 12, who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. And in verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Isn't that encouraging? We start off like the, when you say our human way of thinking, our human way of thinking is earthly, but we need to learn God's way of thinking from him and through his word. So our human way of thinking, yeah, it's not his way, but we have to learn his way of thinking. And we can learn it through the word of God. And he wants to teach us. And another verse that lines up with that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, in verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, as it's written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of the man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And then verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he is himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So it doesn't end there that my ways are not his ways. When I'm in the flesh and I don't consult him and I'm not in his word, then yeah, my ways are definitely not his ways. I can learn what I can learn his ways. 25 is talking about if we, those who fear him and those who are humble, he teaches his way. And he wants to reveal the secrets to those who fear him. And it says that we can have actually the mind of Christ. He gives us a new mind, a new heart. So that's encouraging. So it doesn't end there. So in Isaiah 55 verse 10, as the rain comes down from heaven and the snow from heaven doesn't return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, be led out with peace. This is the abundant life now. When his word comes to us and doesn't return void, then we're going to go out with joy. We're going to be led forth with peace. We'll no longer be dry. We're going to have that living waters because we've received it as spirit. We've believed in him. We've thirsted and we've come to Jesus, not that well of the world. We shall break forth into singing, and all the trees shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorns that come up in our hearts, there's going to be a cypress tree. There's going to be fruit. Instead of the briars, there's going to be a myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name and an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. It would be a sign that there's a God in heaven because we have become signs and wonders for his name. That this guy who is completely in bondage and completely always discouraged and negative can now have life. You know, a person who is, you know, just maybe always isolated and didn't ever want to be around people can now be a fragrance of Christ to others. There's a change that happens, and that's the abundant life. And he wants us to walk in it and to continue to drink in that life of Christ, and it's by his Spirit. So what is the Holy Spirit saying? Just like he said in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 13 and 14, it says, when basically the rains have been shut up, when there's no rain and there's no fruit and the grains and so on have ceased, and the Lord is, when he appeared to Solomon and told him, if this happens, this is what you need to do. Whoever is called by my name, if they humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven and heal their land. That's what they need to do. If there's dryness, if there's no rain, when you think of the rain, you can think of the Holy Spirit, right? Think of water, think of that, the Holy Spirit. He wants to send rain. In Zechariah chapter, where is it now? In Zechariah 10 verse 1, it says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the fields for everyone. Do we need rain? We need it every day. We need his Spirit. And so what are we supposed to do? Ask. Right? That's Bible. That's in what chapter is that? Where it talks about in Luke chapter, where it talks about Luke 10, asking for the Holy Spirit. We need to ask. Ask for rain. He'll give showers of rain so we can don't need to be dry. We can have living waters flowing from us. Ask for rain in the times of the latter rain. He will bring a flashing. He won't just give a light rain. It says flashing clouds. He'll give showers. There'll be grass for everyone. It won't be dead, dry, and barren for everyone. Humble yourself, seek his face, pray, and turn. And that's what he's saying here in Isaiah. If you're thirsting, come. And it says in verse 6, seek. Come and seek. Continue to seek the Lord and call. Call on the name of the Lord. When we call on his name, he comes. We shall be saved. Everyone who calls on his name. Did anyone need to be saved this week from anything, from any sin, from any bad attitude, from any strife or anything, any struggle? I think every one of us needed to be saved. What does it say? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We need to call on his name every day. Every day we need to call on his name. He will come with flashing rain, with the spring rain. Do you know why he sends spring rain? It's a good verse in Hosea. Hosea chapter 6. It's a call for repentance in Hosea. It says, come, let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, but he will heal. He's stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like rain, like the latter and the former rain on the earth. Why does he send the rain? To heal us. Why does he send the rain? To bandage up our wounds and to revive us. He will send rain. Just need to ask.